So, hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von I Can Hear You. Heute zu Gast niemand geringerer als der Hollywood-Star, ja, man muss sich das auf der Zunge zergehen lassen, der Hollywood-Star Quentin Aaron von The Blind Side. Und dann habe ich jemanden, der ihm wirklich das Wasser reichen kann und auf Augenhöhe ist, und zwar Medienmanager und Honorarkonsul Markus Posset. Ihr Lieben, vielen herzlichen Dank, dass ihr euch die Zeit genommen habt. Dankeschön. Quentin, it's a pleasure to have you here in Vienna. Thank you for taking the time and talking to me. And first of all, you are here. I can't. Your smile is amazing. No. Well, we have to talk about the book, Balkan Express. Also die beiden haben gemeinsam ein Buch geschrieben. Balkan Express, eine Geschichte über die Wahrheit. Und ja, dann frage ich doch direkt Markus, was konkret steht in dem Buch, beziehungsweise worum geht es für alle? Ich habe es mir ein bisschen durchgelesen, aber wenn du es kurz und knapp zusammenfassen wollen würdest.
Grundsätzlich geht es um die Wahrheit, um einen Journalisten, der investigativ mehr über ein Projekt wissen möchte, ohne zu stark vorzugreifen auf das Buch. Ja. Und hier wird die Wahrheit auf viele Seiten betrachtet auch, das heißt seitens eines Journalisten. Was recherchiert er, wie kann man gewisse Wahrnehmungen darstellen auch. Und um das geht es eigentlich, um die Arbeit und um die Wahrnehmung eines Journalisten.
Und ich finde es ja wirklich faszinierend, jetzt komme ich ja auch aus der Medienbranche, und wenn du sagst, die Wahrheit in den Medien, wir kennen ja genug gerade in den letzten Jahren Fake News, wir wissen, wie Medien funktionieren, wir wissen, dass die Headlines ganz wichtig sind. Ist es da auch ein bisschen Abrechnen oder ist es einfach nur, dass du sagst, nein, das Thema hat mich ganz speziell interessiert?
Ich glaube generell, dass Qualitätsjournalismus weiterhin mehr Rechte hat als Fake-Journalismus. Wir wissen, in den letzten Wochen, Monaten und Jahren ist viel passiert, in Österreich passiert, weltweit mit Journalisten passiert und den Journalismus passiert. Und ich glaube, es kann nicht schaden, wenn man sich auf die Werte des Journalismus konzentriert, zukünftig wieder. Es ist keine Abrechnung, es ist einfach die Sicht eines Journalisten, wie es sein kann oder vielleicht auch sein sollte, wenn man sich um ein Thema kümmert und auch die journalistische Sorgfaltspflicht einhält und einfach auch das Bild des Journalismus darstellt, wie er eigentlich ist.
Das freut mich ja immer, ne? Weil ich bin ja immer für die Wahrheit, egal was drumherum passiert oder egal welche Karrieren zu Bruch gehen. Man muss nicht immer irgendwie alles aufrechterhalten. Aber bei dir ist es total interessant, weil du hast ja bereits vor 2 Jahren ein Buch geschrieben, und bei dir würde ich schon fast sagen, Nostradamus, du hast vor 2 Jahren ein Buch geschrieben. Es war eigentlich gespickt voller Prophezeiungen, die alle eingetreten sind. Woher kommt das? Intuition oder knallharte Recherche?
Weder noch. Wie gesagt, ich unterrichte auch auf der Fachhochschule für Journalismus und Medienmanagement. Ich bin Medienökonom. Ich weiß und spüre, was in den Medien bewegt. Ich habe schon vor 2 Jahren gesagt, dass die Papierpreise nach oben gehen müssen. Ja, Papierpreise, ein hohes Gut, aber wie gesagt, die Preise waren sehr tief. Jetzt haben wir Corona gehabt, jetzt haben wir gehabt die Krisen auch die Gaskrise mit dem Russlandkrieg. Die Preise müssen nach oben gehen. Ja. Mittlerweile sind die Preise zwischen 40% und 60% nach oben gegangen des Papiers. Die weiteren Themen, was ich auch damals besprochen habe, dass 30% bis 40% der Medien in Österreich nicht überleben werden, das ist ein Faktum, hat damit zu tun, dass die Österreicher sehr viel abhängig sind von Förderungen und auch von Inseraten. Wenn man das mit Deutschland vergleicht, vielleicht mit Spiegel, ist es so, dass Medien oder Magazine davon leben auch, dass sie verkauft werden. Und in Österreich würde eine kleine Anzahl der Medien noch überleben, wenn sie nur vom Verkauf leben würden. Das heißt, sie sind abhängig von Förderungen, sie sind abhängig von Inseraten, auch von Regierungsinseraten. In Deutschland ist es verpönt. Wenn man den Spiegel zum Beispiel aufmacht, wird man merken, dass sehr wenige bis gar keine Inserate seitens der Regierungen drinnen sind. Und das ist der wesentliche Unterschied. Ja. Das heißt, Medien müssen interessant bleiben, der Qualitätsjournalismus gehört gefördert auch. Dann werden sich auch die Leser oder die User wieder damit begeistern können.
Danke, dass du das jetzt übernommen hast. Also wie man unschwer erkennen kann an der Aussprache, komme ich ja aus Deutschland und das war für mich am Anfang sehr, sehr schwierig, inwieweit zu sehen, inwieweit die Regierung da die Inserate schaltet. Aber das ist nochmal ein anderes Thema. Aber ich freue mich, dass du das jetzt so auf den Punkt gebracht hast. Aber jetzt widmen wir uns mal kurz eurer Zusammenarbeit. Wie ist es eigentlich dazu gekommen? Quinton, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being in Vienna. And tell us, how did this... how would you say it?
This collaboration.
Yes, I'm totally speechless. How did you get to know each other? I think this happened 5 years ago when we also met.
Yes, it did.
It's nice to see that you have a friendship. There's a friendship between us and there's a friendship between Marcus and you. That means you did everything right. So tell us a little bit more about it.
I think that's what it was. It was one of those collaborations that stemmed from friendship. You know, we became friends first. We didn't meet and talk business. We got to know each other, kept in touch over the past 5 years, much like you and I have. And then maybe like a couple years ago, we had an idea to collab on a book. And at first, I didn't see how I would be efficient because I never saw myself as an author. You know, I'm actor and I was dabbling in music at the time. But then it was just like, you know, hey, he has the experience, you know, he's going to lead the charge. I can put my creative input where I can. And that's where I was actually able to come to the table and just, you know, lend my advice and assistance or consultants on the creative side of storytelling as an actor. That's where I kind of excel. So, you know.
Could you describe it? I mean, you said it's about friendship and this is how it all starts with friendship. How was it like? Was Marcus called you and said, hey, Quinton, should we write a book? Or was it like, okay, you talked about some plans or doing something in the future?
Yeah, we first started talking about something to do to where I can come back out to Austria and, you know, maybe do some business together and work together and make money, stuff like that. Or just, you know, growing. I was at a point in my life where COVID had came in and flipped my world upside down, as it has many people who has had to deal with it. And I just was looking for something new. I was trying to hit the factory reset button and, you know, and then so when the mention of the book came about, I started to really hone in on that idea and what a collaboration would look like and just wanted to think about how I can be efficient in that process, you know. And so just being able to add creative input to a story to flesh it out and make it not only visualizing, but also entertaining. That's where I was, you know, hopefully able to do a good job. And, you know, we'll see when the audience starts to hone in on the reviews of what they read and how they like what we put together. So.
No, you both did a great job because I had the chance to read a few things about this book and I'm totally amazed. And I know Marcus, everything he does is about 100% or 1000% quality. And with you, it's all, you can win, you can't lose. That's a fact. But because you said something, will this book be published in America? Wird das Buch auch in Amerika veröffentlicht?
Yes. I believe next week it'll be available on ebook, Amazon, Kindle, all of it, everywhere you can buy books online. In the States, you'll be able to get our book. You know, Barnes and Nobles, all the bookstores where they sell.
Something good for those who don't know what to. A gift for Christmas. I think it's a great Christmas.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, because you said visualizing, wird das Buch auch verfilmt? Weil das finde ich so eine ganz spannende Geschichte. Ich finde, diese Geschichte ist so spannend. Man hat schon Bilder im Kopf, logischerweise, wenn man das Buch liest. Aber so on screen stelle ich mir das nochmal in so einem Kino. Ihr hattet ja auch jetzt eine Premiere im Lugner Kino, in der Lugner City. Dieses Visualisieren und sich dann angucken, so passt das mit dem, was ich gelesen habe. Wie wird das sein, Markus?
Also es ist kein Geheimnis. Wir haben zufällig ein Mittagessen gehabt mit Stefan Rodowitzki. Quintin, klarerweise eine Hollywood-Größe, Stefan Rodowitzki, auch eine Größe, Oscar-Preisträger. Wir wollten für uns einmal schauen, gibt es Berührungspunkte, gibt es Möglichkeiten? Und wie du richtig gesagt hast, wenn es tolle Projekte gibt, warum sollen wir es nicht auf Film bringen? Ja? Und wir haben lange diskutiert und es war ein spannendes Projekt und wenn es die Möglichkeit gibt, sind wir bereit dafür. Wir haben Signale ausgestreut, wir haben gute Gespräche geführt und möglicherweise wird es auch zukünftig einen Film geben.
Also ich drücke diesbezüglich ganz fest die Daumen, aber wirklich aus Eigennutz, weil ich finde das super. Because I asked if the movie, if there will be a movie in the future, because when I read this or when I read this book, it was like I have these pictures in my mind and the story, and I'm also a kind of person who visualizes a lot of things, so it would be great to have it on screen.
Absolutely. I think that was definitely in the back of our minds while putting it together. It's like being an actor, I think I connect more to projects when I can see them. And everything about this book, you know, when you read it, you're going to entangle yourself into that world.
Totally.
Journalism and espionage and, you know, fact-finding and all of that. It's like you're going on a cryptic journey of discovering the truth.
And this is what it's about, because that was my feeling when I started to read this, and I'm coming from the journalism and from that side of media. It was like, okay, there are also always both sides of a story, and mm-hmm. we shouldn't forget that. But I have a question. Ich mach's mal auf Deutsch. Ihr versteht euch extrem gut. Wir haben am Montag, wir haben jetzt auch vor ein paar Tagen ein bisschen gequatscht. Ich sage das jetzt ganz salopp. Wir haben ein bisschen geredet und ich habe so das Gefühl, ihr versteht euch auch extrem gut, weil ihr so eine Heldenreise gemacht habt. Du bist ja auch jemand, der nicht mit dem goldenen Löffel im Mund geboren wurde. Im Gegenteil, vom Lehrling bei der Bahn zum Medienmanager, Honorarkonsul etc. Das ist Arbeit. Das ist sehr viel Arbeit, sich das zu erarbeiten, als mit einem gewissen Namen geboren worden zu sein. Bei Quintin ist es ja ähnlich. You were born not rich. You were born very, very normal, I would say, and Blindside, the movie, gave you the chance to be seen. And I think Markus is also not that wasn't born rich. Is that something which connects you more? Also verbindet euch das mehr? Würde man das sagen?
Ich glaube, es ist gut, dass wir beide bodenständig sind. Ja? Also ich glaube, der Quintin und ich sprechen genauso mit Leuten von der Straße oder mit Lehrlingen genauso wie mit dem Generaldirektor. Ja? Für uns ist es normal, quasi jeden Menschen gleich zu behandeln, mit gleichem Respekt, mit gleicher Wertschätzung auch. Ich glaube, das verbindet uns auch, ja? Dass man einfach diese Freundlichkeit oder diese Gabe auch den anderen weitergibt. Ja? Ich glaube auch, es kann nicht schaden, wenn man im Leben viel erreicht hat. Das Leben ist ja wie ein Gummiball, einmal ist er oben, einmal ist er unten. Und wenn man nicht weiß, wie es unten ist, tut man sich meistens schwer, oben zu bleiben. Ja. Und ich glaube, das ist auch einer der Parts, was uns so durchaus verbindet, aber auch der Humor, beziehungsweise, dass wir uns ergänzen in diesen Projekten.
Das ist sehr interessant. Vor allem, du hast die Bodenständigkeit genannt. You are both very humble. Even a Hollywood star and a very, very famous media manager, not only in Austria. Markus is very popular beside of Austria or Germany and many other countries. So what is the secret between your good vibes, or your vibing very good? What is the secret behind that from your side?
I think it stems to who we are as people, first and foremost. There's who you are, there's what you do, and there's how you react to what you go through. And all three of those characterizations is a part of building the person. And that plays a big part in how you collab with one another or just with people in general. I connect to people through the heart because yeah. I'm a giver of love, and you know, and I believe in leading my life through that. You know, I feel like we get a lot more things accomplished that affect positive change when we do things out of love. You know, I feel like it creates a lot of opportunities. It creates a lot of positive flow, opens doors, you know. I think it's pretty cool just to see the good in people and be able to connect to, you know, create something magical.
And Marcus also said it's about how you treat people.
Yes.
It's not important who they are or where they're from. It's you can talk to everyone like
absolutely.
Very normal person. So I think this is very, very important because this is what we lose in our generation and our society. We lose that.
Yeah.
A lot of people only think, oh, I get my profit from this one, so I forget the other one. So this is very important. And I knew that this answer would come. So this is why I like you both so much. But Quinton, I have a question to you. So many people know you as the Hollywood star and from Blindside with Sandra Bullock. But you're more than that. Is it? How is it for you? Is it okay? Do you say, okay, that's the story. This opened me doors.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it like you say, no, I'm more than that?
Yeah, I always
I don't want to be reduced only on this character, this role.
Exactly. I always say there's more to me than meets the eye, first and foremost. But I am more than just the character in that film. I think I excel on a deeper level because when I got into acting, it wasn't just because of the Blind Side. It was, you know, I was already acting before that. I was acting since I was 9.
Oh.
You know, I did a lot of theater, a lot of stage plays, and that helped me through a difficult time because I got into it while I was being bullied. And so that was what triggered my love for film or for acting, is because it was an escape from reality for me to pretend to be other characters at a time when I didn't really like myself. So that's where the love for film and acting and, you know, that journey began and stemmed from. But then it grew. As I grew and I got older, I started to realize that I was pretty good at it. And I love to entertain people because I get joy out of helping people or making them smile or stuff like that. That's all a part of leaving my life with love. So I think being that we're like-minded, that brought us together in a way that we were able to create something that I feel like the world will enjoy, you know, and then it's just the first of many somethings that we're going to create together. And it's just going to open doors to keep going and keep moving forward, doing great things.
And now I have a question. Baikan Express is a real story.
Yes.
Blindside was a real story, based on a real story.
Yes.
Is that also something which brought you together, or didn't you think about it?
You know what? I don't think we thought about it at the time, but you know, it makes sense. I am a fan of true stories because I believe everyone has a story to tell, you know, and it's therapeutic to tell your story because if you keep it in, you'll drive yourself crazy. I know I've done that and I am crazy, you know, but my medication for my craziness is talking about it, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is why my podcast is called I Can't Hear You. Because I think everyone has a story to tell.
Absolutely.
And people should listen to this story. Yeah, because for me, it's important to see not only the person or the character, but the story behind it. Because some people, the behavior of them is not about who they are. It's about who they became because of how people treated him or her or being bullied. This makes something out of the person or the journey. Who you get.
Yes.
So this is why I always try to listen and to find out who's the person. behind that, behind the name, behind the face, and so on. So this is why I love this this answer when you said it's about the story behind the person. So yes. I can hear your story. When I say I can hear your story, I know you are very religious.
Yes.
And please tell me, how was it for you when you were up there, Hollywood, Oscar, and so on? And then nothing happened, to be honest. There were no, like, another role which gave you the Oscar. To say, now, you know what I mean. Markus, du wirst mich verstehen, wenn ich sage, also du bist aber in den Oscars und dann denkst du, it's like a singer, yeah? You get the Grammy or close to the Grammy, and then you're thinking about, well, next year I will get the Grammy, and nothing happens.
Yeah,
you know. How was it? Was it difficult for you, or was it like it's got in God's hand?
It's in God's hands. You know, I think my religion played a big part of my, you know, keeping my sanity in this industry, because that is correct. I, you know, after coming off such a big high with this film, which is, you know, to this day, the highest grossing sports film of all time, and then not getting no other big opportunities, there was a time in my life where I was like, what's going on? You know, but then I had to, you know, reset, just come back, put myself together and be like, all right, let's think about this. What was I really meant to do? What was I really meant to accomplish? Go on and be this megastar doing hit movie after hit movie? Or was I meant to have the platform that I have to be able to reach the people that I'm reaching? Over the past 13 years, I've been motivational speaking in schools and to organizations and parents and, you know, uplifting people. And I get joy out of that. So for me, it's like I'm okay with not being a megastar. I never really saw myself as a star. You know, I always tell people I'm not famous. I'm popular. You know, a lot of people like me because I'm nice. I don't really think the people that like me for the film like me before the film. They're just like, oh, he's famous. Let's take a picture. And they run off. But the people that get to know me and stick around and talk to me, they like me because of who I am. And that's what matters more to me than the stardom of it. I honestly, fun fact about me, I don't really care for red carpets. I know it's bad to say, but like I get such crazy anxiety. But being an actor, I hide it. You will never see it. But I'm literally like shaking in my space boots. Like, when I was on the Oscar red carpet, walking down, it's like 2.5 hours of interviews on the biggest, you know, platforms and media. I was nervous. I almost peed myself a couple times, which is crazy. I'm like, they're going to ask me something and I have no idea what to say. I never freeze up. And I can only explain that as being God, you know, taking the steering wheel in my life. And I think I'm glad to have the experiences I've had, to have gone through the struggles that I did, because it shaped me into who I am today. I had an amazing mother who is at the forefront of all of that. And I take her with me everywhere, and, you know,
makes me cry.
A lot of her stories I tell, because she is the reason why I am who I am and why I do what I do. And her legacy is living on through me and my brother. And so, you know, we're going to continue to be the good people that we are. Not chasing fame. I'm chasing what God wants me to have. I'm doing his work and affecting people the way that I, you know, believe he wants me to affect them, you know, with my heart to theirs.
This is so nice to listen to, because Markus would give me right when I say, you said, I'm not famous, I'm popular. But we are in a society where people who are popular think they are famous.
Yes.
Because of an Instagram channel or something like that. They didn't achieve anything in their life, but they think they are famous. Yeah. So something switched in our society.
Yes.
And I don't like that, but we have to deal with it, actually. Yes. So it's so nice to listen to you and you are famous for us. For someone who's from Vienna, you are famous. And I also know people who try to get on a red carpet, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to people, when they ask me about my job, I say, well, the the clock rings, or the alarm rings at 3:30, and I have to be at work at 5, and on 6 I'm on screen. The red carpet is only maybe the cherry, but I don't mind it, or I don't like it, but it's okay, but it's not part of my job.
Yeah.
It's not what defines my job.
Yeah.
The red carpet.
It's not your motivation.
No.
Yeah.
When the alarm hits at 3:30, you are like, I hate my fucking job, to be honest. So this is, well, the society changed. People who are popular, maybe popular, think they are famous. And people who are famous say, well, step back. I don't want to be in that spotlight or brought in that spotlight.
I think a big reason is because society has shown people today that you need to chase fame in order to be relevant. And no disrespect to the social media era, you know, all they're doing is following the trend that is popular.
Yeah.
And, you know, and seeking that relevancy in their life. You know, I was at a point where I was seeking relevancy in my life because I was caught up in believing that I didn't matter if people didn't like me. You know, and I needed to be validated by having everyone like me. And I don't want to say that I don't care if people like me or not, because my thing is, I'm a respectful person, I'm a lovable person, and I'm a loving person. So if people don't like me, I do mine, because I want to know if there's something that I did wrong and hopefully change that. Not to win over the acceptance, because I can't change, you know, what people think or feel about me, but I don't want to be the reason, in a sense, to where I'm doing something to offend them and not know it. You know what I mean? So I'm always going to be me unapologetically unless I'm with fault.
Yes.
And when I am with fault, I will own that fault and apologize for it. But if I'm not doing anything wrong, you just don't like me, that's your problem, you know, and I can't do anything about that. I love you anyway, but I'm sorry. I love me.
Yes. You know, who you are.
Yes,
in
exactly.
In fact, you know who you are. That's I would say, Markus, du bist genauso. Du weißt, wer du bist, und du hast nichts. I've got nothing to prove.
Ich würde es auf Wienerisch sagen, wie es der Falco gesagt hat. Falco hat gesagt, die meisten Leute, die mich sehen, kotzen sich an. Und mit aller Gewalt heißt es, diesen Ruf zu verteidigen. Ja? Man kann es nicht jedem recht machen. Es gibt Leute, mit denen ist man besser unterwegs, und Leute, mit denen ist man schlechter unterwegs. Es gibt einen weiteren Spruch, ein Löwe scheiß drauf, was Schafe denken. Und um das geht es eigentlich ja. Entweder wird man akzeptiert oder nicht. Wir versuchen, möglichst Brücken zu bauen. Richard von Weizsäcker hat gesagt, es ist oft besser, Brücken zu bauen, als Gräben zu ziehen. Wenn es die Gegenüberperson wünscht, dann sehr gerne. Ja. Ist auch der Ziel in jeder Ausreichung, ob das jetzt in der Medienbranche ist oder in der Politik ist oder in vielen anderen Branchen ist. Ja. Das ist es. Und wenn man sich nichts vorwerfen kann und im Spiegel schauen kann und wenn man sagt, okay, man macht es gerne und gut, dann ist es egal, welche Branche das ist, dann wird es auch so funktionieren.
Absolut, absolut. We come up to, you started with music, you moved to Tennessee. I only have to say Billy Ray Cyrus. What kind of music? I have to ask it, but actually we know country. It is.
I know, right? I have some inspirational stuff. I'm going to get into some Christian music. I have a background in R&B. Well, in a sense where I grew up singing on stage in a lot of venues where I was doing the old school stuff like Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross and stuff. So I grew up, I'm an old soul, and my mom got me into music. But I also grew up in the church, so I got that spiritual soul inside of me. And the first single I'm releasing is called Lead With Love. And it's Lead With Love.
Lead With Love, okay.
Yes, and it's more of an inspirational, uplifting kind of song that I feel like the world needs more of today. And my purpose behind that, well, I wrote it actually after Hurricane Ida.
Yeah.
Back in 2021. I just felt like, you know, with everything happening in the news, this was kind of speaking, it was me speaking my mind through song about you know, where we're at, but how I'm looking to embrace the situation. You know what I mean? I don't want to just complain. I want to be the answer, if I will. You know, if I can use my time here on Earth to, you know, fix the problem, that's what I want to do. You know, how can I help?
You know. Would you mind to sing something?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Lead with hope in the midst of the storm. I know you're getting tired, aching in his heart going on. In the light, I want to say all the things that I didn't know how to say. Lead with love. Lead with love.
Oh, you got me. I've got goosebumps.
Yes. That's a little,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is amazing. When does the record will be released?
Hopefully we can get it out to the world. If not, around Valentine's Day, a little after.
Oh,
yeah.
Valentine's Day.
You know,
where
else to release a song about love, you know, and Valentine's Day. I feel like, you know, so that's my hope, that I can get it out around Valentine's Day, you know.
Sounds great. We're actually at the end of our interview, and I have a question to both of you,
but I have to say
to my audience.
I will be your Valentine.
I sang with him Billie Jean, Michael Jackson in the club.
Yes,
I have to admit,
we did.
That was fine. We had a lot of fun. When will you be back in Vienna? I heard something about another project. Is that right, or still not ready to talk about?
We're in talks. I want to be back out here as soon as possible. But he told me I should skip the winter.
You know, skip the winter, come back around about Valentine's Day, make your tour again.
I will come back around Valentine's Day.
We're going to prepare, get some roses.
Exactly.
And then we make our tour, and I think there will be a lot of ladies. You will win by heart.
Get a bunch of roses, walk through the city of Vienna,
it's like The Bachelor.
Roses.
You know, do you have The Bachelor in America?
I haven't been on The Bachelor.
But you have
I thought you asked me.
No.
We have The Bachelor out
there. Make something like The Bachelor, and you will be here, and you give roses to some ladies. Yeah. Well, I have a plan.
The Vienna Bachelor Edition.
Yes, that would be great. But unfortunately, we are at the end of our interview. But I have, of course, a question to both of you.
Yes.
What's up in the future? What's coming? What are your projects, Markus? Was sind deine Projekte für die Zukunft? Because I know you both won't sit back or lay back and wait for whatever. You're hard workers.
Vielleicht unabhängig von unseren Projekten, die hoffentlich weitergehen und wo wir ja zahlreiche andere haben, gibt es einige mögliche Übernahmen im Mediensektor, die uns sehr freuen würden. Ich glaube, die nahe Zukunft wird das ein oder andere Medienunternehmen zum Umdenken bringen müssen. Und sollte es da zur richtigen Zeit Interesse geben, wäre es uns natürlich eine Freude, das ein oder andere Medienunternehmen zu restrukturieren, zu übernehmen auch. Und ich glaube, das wird auch bald der Fall sein.
Das klingt wie Musik in meinen Ohren. Ich werde gespannt schauen, und wir stehen ja in Kontakt, und ich bin sehr gespannt und drücke diesbezüglich die Daumen. Fingers crossed, toi toi toi. Und danke, Markus, dass du dir die Zeit genommen hast. Danke, Markus, dass du das überhaupt ermöglicht hast, dass du diese Vision hattest und dass du sie dann auch schlussendlich umgesetzt hast. Das lässt mich auch wieder daran glauben, ein Mann, ein Wort. Nicht nur Worte, sondern auch Taten sprechen lassen. Vielen, vielen Dank dafür.
Danke auch.
What are your plans, Quinton? Not only coming back to Vienna?
Yes. Okay. Aside from that, I am getting ready to delve into my production company in hopes of getting some of our projects picked up. I have some interest from some big studios, and, you know, fingers crossed, everything goes according to plan. I'm collabing with people. We're about to sign a deal with a big PR firm in the States, and just, you know, push the music. I got to get back in the studio as well, because I have more songs that I've written and, you know, are in the process of being recorded and mixed and mastered and stuff. So I'm really going to go the distance with this music. It's been a part of my life all my life, you know, and now I'm finally introducing that side of me to the world. So it's going to be more music in the future and more movies, more books, you know, more trips to Vienna.
Hopefully.
You know.
But the last question, I think even my audience would like to know, do you still have contact with Sandra Bullock?
You know, I haven't spoken to her in a while. I think the last time we connected was around 2020. But yeah, I like to keep in touch every now and then. I just don't bug her. I know she has a lot going on and everything, but that one has been amazing to me and will forever always have a piece of my heart, you know.
Because she's German, actually. Yeah. She has German roots. We are always good to people.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Fingers crossed for all your projects in the future. The book is amazing. I'm looking forward to see this book on screen in cinemas around the world, hopefully. And thank you so much. Das war's. I can hear you. Wir sind jetzt leider schon am Ende. Ich könnte ewig mit den beiden weitersprechen. Hollywood-Star Quentin Aaron hat sich die Zeit genommen. Medienmanager und Honorarkonsul Markus Posset ebenfalls. Und die zwei sind absolut ein Dreamteam. Ich kann euch das Buch Balkan Express, die wahre Geschichte, nur ans Herz legen. Ja, es ist ein tolles, spannendes Buch. Und wir hoffen tatsächlich, dass es demnächst auch on screen erscheint im Kino. Also alles, alles Liebe, alles Gute, bleibt gesund. Und wir hören uns und sehen uns nächste Woche wieder.
Super.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.